ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विद अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस मे वी विद अवर आईज always see what is auspicious. May we live our allotted life hale and hearty, offering our praises unto thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are discussing the Prashna Upanishad and we have just started the third chapter where Ashvalayana is asking beautiful questions. And all those questions are gradually leading us from the lower knowledge, which is the knowledge of the world, to the knowledge of Brahman. And so Upasana has to be done. Upasana is to have complete faith in the scriptures and following the teachings of the teacher, Guru. We must transform our life, and that process takes place in three steps: Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana. So what was the question? In one verse, this Kausalya, that is the son of Ashvalayana, called Ashvalayana, had asked six questions, and these are very practical things. Let us not say these are all things which are just intellectual. Beyond, no, it is day-to-day practical life. So we believe in not only in the past life, but also in the future lives. And every time we are born in a different body and in a different way. So the questions will be, what is it that makes us be born? It is a prana which comes. Because remember, according to Vedanta, the sukshma sarira, which consists of the pranas, panchabhutas, etc., that is absolutely all these panchabhutas and the sukshma sarira and the karan sarira. There is no death for that. It will continue unabated continuously until we attain liberation. And we are talking about birth, we are talking about physical body, we are talking about also the birth and death. So six questions. Hey Bhagavan, this Ashvalayana addresses Rishi Pippalada, who is a Brahmagna Purusha. Kutaha Yesha Prano Jayati. So what is the source, origin of this prana? Katham Ayati Asman Sharire. How does it enter into each one of the individual bodies, separate bodies? And how does it maintain? Atmanam va pravibhajya katham pratishthate. And when it goes, that is, how does it maintain? How is it born? And how it lives so long as life is continuous. Kena utkramate, and how does it go? Birth, sustenance, and death. How does it take place? Remember, birth means entrance of the prana into a particular body. And so long as that individual body is alive, that is called sustenance, maintenance, called sthiti actually. Srishti means birth, sthiti means maintenance. And when that prana departs from the body, prana itself will not die, but it is the physical mechanism, instrument, which will go. So these three are implied there. Kena utkramate, that is how does it depart from this body? That means how does marana, mrityu, happen? Katham bahyam abhidatte, how does this prana maintain the whole external universe? Katham adhyatma miti, so how does this prana maintain inside? The most marvelous ideas are given here. The whole universe is nothing but manifestation of prana. Prana here means Hiranyagarbha or Saguna Brahma, at Varsi Ramakrishna calls Shakti. So it is Saguna Brahma. So tell me about Saguna Brahma so that I can contemplate upon this Saguna Brahma and I can attain to that Saguna Brahma. Attainment means not like two persons meeting, but like water, for example, a river entering into the ocean, or like one glass of water poured into a bigger glass of water. Water becomes water, then they both mix. No separation is ever possible. That is what is being asked. And this is what we have to ask, each one of us. So, from where is this prana born? First question. Second, how does it come or enter into this body and makes the birth possible? Third, how does it abide in the body after it has divided itself? And fourth, how does it depart? That means, how does death happen? Fifth, how does it support what is outside? That means the entire experienced world called objective world. And how does it maintain what is within this body itself? These are the six questions. Very, very important questions, because this is called involution. We are coming from God and we don't know that fact. That is being explained here. Once we know we are coming from God, there is an inevitable law that the effect must ultimately, however long it may be as an effect, has to go back to its original cause. For example, if you make a pot out of clay, one day the clay pot will break and it ever remained clay. It came out of clay and it is sustained by clay and it goes back to clay. That means it is not that it goes back. It recognizes, it cognizes, it knows, I am clay. Instead of saying I am pot, we are all saying we are bodies. In other words, we are saying we are pots. Taking this analogy, Brahman is the clay and all of us are the manifestations of this. So these are the six questions, and the entire chapter is an answer to this. And at the end comes Upasana. How? Ya evam pranam veda. By knowing this prana, remember the question start, where from this prana, what is the origin of the prana? And he who knows pranam is nothing but Atman. And this pranam is nothing but all our bodies. So we are all manifestations of prana. But in the end, prana is the manifestation of Atman. Therefore, logically, consequently, we all know we are Atman. And the one who knows thus through meditation, through spiritual practice, and such a person will get the benefit, first various worldly benefits, and afterwards you will get liberation itself. So remember, every Upanishad has only one goal in life, not many. How can I become free from this samsara, maya, transmigration? How can I get out of this transmigratory cycle. That means moksha, the fourth purusharth. How can I get in? So for that, Rishi Pippalada gives direct answer. Atmanaha esha pranaha jayate. Where from prana has come? It has come from Atman. Now, in my last class, I have explained. So prana has come from Atma doesn't mean like a baby coming out of a mother. That is like a snake appearing because of the rope. That is, the rope itself is appearing as a snake. Another beautiful example would be when we go to dream state, we see that I, the waker, have become everything. Nothing has changed. I have not really become, as if I have become my entire dream world. That is the idea. If we can get that idea, then we are free. And that is called Brahmagnan. What is Brahmagnanam? The whole universe is nothing but Brahman. But in the state of ignorance, it appears to be the me, you, the world, etc. All these numberless things. But when right knowledge comes, it is like a dream. There is only one waker, and everything else is the thoughts, different thoughts. But when the dream breaks, what remains? Only that one remains. And then he becomes free from the thraldom, from the bondage of every dream. So wake up from this dream state. And remember, even this waking state is another dream from the highest viewpoint. So Pippalada gives beautiful answer. Atmanaha esha prana jayate. This prana is nothing but manifestation of Atma. Atma means Brahman. Brahman itself is manifesting as the individual soul, as if it divided itself into infinite number of both the subject and the object. How many subjects? Only one. How many experiencers? Only one. How many experienced? Any number. So, yatha esha purushe chaya etasmin etat atatam. So, what is it? And then the Upanishad, Pippalada, adds, how is it? What is the relationship between this Atman and Prana? As if when a man is walking in light, a shadow follows. What is the relationship between the man and the shadow? Without the man, there would be no shadow. But with the shadow is totally dependent upon the man. Suppose you beat the shadow, nothing happens to the man. And the shadow is what we call all the our bodies, all the three bodies. If we can understand that, then we'll be free. What is our present state? That supposing somebody thinks I am the shadow, and you beat the shadow, and then he feels, oh, somebody is beating. Is this example a really good example? That's why dream is a marvelous state, the example of a dream. In the dream, somebody comes and beats me, and I am crying as if somebody is really beating, and somebody is feeding me nice sweets. I also feel I am so very happy. The point is, after waking up, what I thought really somebody is beating me, somebody is feeding me. Both are only my, first of all, both are thoughts. Thoughts are not realities. Secondly, it is me only. I have become the beater. I have become the stick. I have become the beaten. I have become the sweet. I have become the sweet feeder. And I also have become the person who eats the sweet. There is absolutely, it is all merely play, what we call chit krida, play of the thoughts, of course, illumined by consciousness. So what is the relationship between the man and the shadow? Shadow will be there so long as man is there. And the shadow is totally dependent upon the man. But the shadow cannot affect the man. Like that, whatever experiences we are having in this world, in either waking state, dreamless state, cannot really affect me. That is the point we will have to understand all the time. And that is the fact. Whether we obtain that knowledge through bhakti or through jnana marga or through yoga or through karma yoga or a combination of all these, that's a different issue. But the final goal, final knowledge is exactly the same. That knowledge that I am the Atman, I am not affected by any one of these things, that is our goal, that is called moksha. So the answer is, yatha esha chaya puruṣe asmin etadātata. You know sometimes what happens? That if the light is from behind, the shadow covers the man. If the light is in the front, then the man is not even aware that there is a huge, long shadow. But if the light is from behind, sometimes the shadow even covers the man, but it has absolutely no effect because it is only an appearance, it's not a reality. That is the idea. We have to tasmin etat atatam. That is the answer given. Prana is born of Atma, and everybody has got prana. So everybody, everything is born of prana. Therefore, the prana is nothing but Atman, and therefore everything is nothing but Atman. Another name for Atman is called Brahman. Therefore, sarvam khalvidam brahma. That is the final siddhanta summary. Then, how does this enter? It's a very relevant question. Even in the same family, there will be different children. Even if there are three brothers like Vibhishana, Ravanasura, and Kumbhakarna. Three completely different natures. But prana is the same. Like whether you are having a heater, whether you are having a fan, whether you are having any gadget that requires electricity, the electricity is the same. But depending upon every different instrument, we have to understand that without electricity, none of the gadgets will work. But with electricity, all the gadgets will not give the same result. What is this analogy for? That is to say, all the pranis in this world, prana is the important thing that illumines everything. But the truth is, some person is good, some person is not good, some person is ignorant, some person is very learned, some person is rich, some person is... So, before prana enters into the body, nobody has got any idea that how this baby is going to be. Or in fact, we have to say, even when the prana enters into that fetus, into that bija, that very moment differentiations will come. So, why does prana manifest in so many ways? That is the real question. For that, the answer is, mano krutena ayati asmin sharire. Asmin sharire, in this body, prana, obviously, mano krutena ayati. It enters according to the samskaras of every individual soul. Mano krita means, krita means that which is done. Mano krita means manena krita. That is done by the mind. Done by the mind means what? Thoughts. But thoughts are the results of samskaras. Samskaras are the results of actions done in the previous lives, many, many lives. And there is something the scripture tells us. What we are in this world is not the exact result of what we did, nor complete result of what we did in only the last life. No. Janma janma antara. Many lives we obtained. So many samskaras are there. They are called sancheta karma. And only in this body, a few of them, in a mysterious way, they manifest in this life. So it is not necessarily only previous birth, but many, many, many previous births, maybe 5,000 years back, one samskara, maybe 2,000 years back, another samskara. And where is the unity? The unity is in this particular body, whatever samskaras can be experienced, only all such similar samskaras will be joining in this particular body, and that is what we need to understand. Of the Atman is born this prana, like the shadow on a man, it is spread out on that. It comes into the body by the acts of the mind. So this prana comes from the self Atman, just as a shadow is cast by the body of a person, and of the Atman is born, etc. Here is a clear indication that the energy whose play is the whole creation, both internal and external, is born of the Atman and covers the being, just as a shadow spreads over a body. When a physical body of a person casts its shadow, the shadow doesn't exist independent of the body. A shadow is inherent in the body. The shadow is projected by the substance. So is the whole universe is a projection of the self. The shadow has no intrinsic existence. It enjoys only projected existence. A shadow is elusive, for it can never be caught. It escapes the grasp of man, for it is intangible, indicating that the self or the spirit is present in the universe only in an intangible manner. This is a very important point. This universe, everything is momentary. That is the analogy to the shadow. Just as the shadow is intangible, this universe is not a tangible universe, but intangible universe. We experience it, but there is no substance to it. There is no hardness to it. So intangibility resides in all the objects as the shadow cast by the self. This is the nature of prana. Prana is projected from the self Atma. And this prana, comparable to that shadow, is perceived to exist because of Atman, which is its substratum. As there can be no shadow without substance, so also is prana, and it cannot be independent. Prana is entirely dependent on the self, and in that sense it is unreal. It appears to be real because it rests on the reality, the self. The shadow is projected by the substance, so the whole universe is a projection of the self. So what is the answer? The Atman originates from the prana originates from the Atman. That means it is nothing but Atman, but it assumes the dress of the prana and it works. Then how does it enter into the human body? Because we see so many differences, no two beings, no two mosquitoes, no two leaves are alike. It all depends upon what is called the actions, the thoughts, the samskaras of the mind. That is the explanation. And this is expanded into what we call Hindu's third law of Hinduism, a law of karma, karma siddhanta. Manokritena means manojanya, born of the mind, means sankalpajanya. That means through sankalpas. Sankalpas are born of desires, kamajanya, and kamas are born of karmas that we do repeatedly. That is, everything is the result of samskara. A man is the result of habits. This is what English psychology also tells us. And you tell me the habits of a person, I will tell you what that person is. So according to this Upanishad and to all Upanishads, there is no distinction between one Upanishad and the other Upanishad. The mind creates the body, and that means what? Mind means thoughts. Thoughts means because of habits. Habits means because of what we did in the past. That means who is responsible? Each one of us is squarely responsible for the fate, not only because we think in a particular way, so we act in that particular way, and then the results we reap, sukha, dukkha, etc. So that is what Swami Vivekananda says, you are the architect of your own fate. This is the meaning of manokrutena ayati. In how? Punya, papa, rupa, prarabdha, rupena, asmin sarire, pranaha, ayati. It comes in the form of prarabdha karma, and prarabdha karma comes in the form of happiness and unhappiness, and happiness and unhappiness are the result of punya and papa. Even Patanjali yogi also says, that all of us, human beings, other than human beings, is they fall under evolutionary process. They don't have any karma siddhanta, doesn't work there. So Patanjali says, each one of us, we are born, we live for some time, then during how long we live, in which species we are born, and how much is our happiness and unhappiness, they all depend upon what type of actions we have done in the past. These three in Sanskrit is called jati, ayu, and bhoga. So our present life is the result of our thoughts in a previous existence. Therefore, we are responsible for all that. This is the answer to that second question. And how does prana enter into the body? Because we see so many differences, different types of bodies, different types of conditions, different types of fates. With all, without prana, nothing of them will work. With prana, we see so much of distinction, division, diversity, all because of what? Past karma. Now, we come to the third question. The third question was, how does this prana divide itself into five, And what is the meaning of division? That it does five different types of activities, and all the activities done by the prana are divided into five categories, and therefore the same prana, one prana, it gets five different names because of the five different actions, activities it performs. Like, as I gave you the example, the same man is a husband at home, and when he visits his parents, he's the son, and when he visits the hospital, perhaps he's a doctor or a nurse, whatever it is, he's called a nurse. And when he's playing, say, let us say cricket, he's a cricketer. And when he's teaching somebody, he's a teacher. So man, all of us, we do different activities. When we are cooking, we are called cookers, cooks. When we are driving, we are called drivers. When we are teaching, we are called teachers. Person is the same, but because of the different activities, we have these different types of titles. What is the point? How does this prana? Prana is only one. Why is it called five different names? Because of five different activities. And that is the answer given here to that question. Yatha samrad eva adhikritan piniyunte etan graman tan graman adhitishtasva iti evam eva esha prana itaran prana prathak prathak eva sanidhatte. So it's given a beautiful example. Remember in our last chapter, we have seen that how a queen bee, when it gets up, and all other bees follow it. When it comes back, wherever it settles, all the bees also settle. Like that, here is a king, and he has got so many villages under his domain, and he doesn't go every place, and then not able to carry all activities. So what does he do? He finds some capable people and says, you take these villages and you see that they are run properly, collect the taxes, look for the welfare of the people, and do the best you can. So like that, one king divides. So these people who are appointed by the king, officers under him, so they behave as though they are the local chiefs. And for the local people, they are the maharajas, because they are the immediately available authority for everything. But these people are completely conscious that our power comes from the original king. And tomorrow, if he is displeased with us, he can simply dismiss us. There is no doubt about it. He can simply dismiss us. He need not do anything. Just say, get out. I am demoting you. And that's enough. So this is the example given. We should only take the meaning of the example to understand the point. not get stuck whether the king has the real power or not or whatever it is. So what does the king do? He will divide different activities, and if he is a wise king, he appoints capable people for each department, departmental head, and one is a minister, another is a army chief, another is supply officer, another is collecting information, etc., etc. So also this prana divides itself into five activities, and then it upholds this body, the entire world, our inside, our outside, and the entire world. That is the question that is being answered here. And this is a well-known process, what is called prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. So that same samrat or king will be known in one place as minister, by somebody else as a army chief, by somebody else as the minister of home minister, or somebody else is the foreign minister, etc., etc. Similarly, all of them, they represent only one mukhya prana. So the prana, performing different functions, assumes five different names, because all the activities that are necessary for the maintenance of the body are included in these five categories. So idam grahman, grahman adhitishtasva, you rule over it evam eva, thus exactly the same manner. Esha prana, this mukhya prana, the chief prana, the one prana, itaran prana, the other pranas. Remember, when you say other pranas, the example that we have given, the king is not the other officers. He only appointed them. They can never claim that I am the emperor. At best, they can claim I am the representative of the emperor, king. But here, we have to understand, it is the same prana, as if the same king, for some time he will act as a minister, for some time he will act as a chief of the army, for some time he will be negotiating with other people. In fact, all the kings used to do it. Do you know how they did it? By alliances. I will marry your daughter, or I will give my sister to your son. So we will join together, and we can be unite together and conquer our common enemy. Is whether it is Bhagavatam or whether it is especially Mahabharatam, you will get all these things. So the analogy is only meant for us to understand the role of the prana, but not to understand that other pranas are separate, different, and they are under the thumb power of the mukhya prana. No, mukhya prana itself does everything, and it is called by different names according to the activities. Itaran prana prithak prithak eva sanidhatte. It commands and it says you perform these respective functions. It is only for the facility of understanding. So the nucleus of all activities of the body is the prana, the chief, which gets its work done through upapranas. Again, I am cautioning you. Upaprana means they are not separate pranas. Same prana doing different activities, just as a king gets his work done through his subordinates, by governors or subedars. The activities of the living body can be classified under five different categories or five pancha pranas with their own nomenclature and a clear-cut division of the duties allotted to each one of them. Each prana has got its own jurisdiction, wherein it functions with its specified headquarters, fixed at a stipulated location in the body. A most marvelous description is given here. We will not get in any scientific textbook of physiology this kind of descriptions, that all the important functions of the body are taken notice, and which particular activity is done by which particular aspect of the mukhya prana, and who is the presiding deity, and what are those functions, are graphically described here. So So the secondary pranas function in the various sectors of the body to contribute to the experiences gained by the Atman through this prana. Remember, this body is an instrument. This mind is also an instrument. Through these instruments, remember Katha Upanishad, if you still remember, Atmanam Rathinam Vithi, Shariram Rathamevatu, etc. The description goes, the real Atma is the traveler. Jiva Atma is the traveler. Chidabhasa combined with Karana, Sukshma, Shariras is called Jiva Atma. Pratibimbita Chidabhasa. Along with this, what is called instruments, he is called Jivatma. The whole body, mind and this world is only for the enlightenment, for the evolution. It is only for the evolution so that the Jivatma can know that I am not a Jivatma, but I am the Paramatma. Life is meant only for this realization, remember, and the rest is, however long we might have been blotched, we must have been got stuck to one particular situation, but ultimately the stream of evolution will hasten the process by separating us, and that is when we are attached, we become painfully aware. We are detached from our beloved objects. It may be family, it may be house, it may be car, it may be money, it may be anything. But it is most necessary for evolutionary progress, for the soul to know I am divine, and this manifestation of divinity goes on with or without our cooperation. But if it is done without cooperation, it is called natural evolution. If it is done with our complete cooperation, it is called spiritual sadhana. That's all. So it must be noted clearly that the vital breath or prana is only one. But it is known by different names on account of different activities that it maintains the body. Prana is the vitalizing force for the entire body. But in and through different centers of the body, it discharges various functions. The fivefold nature of prana is only a functional division. And we should keep in mind that there are no five different vital breaths, only one mukhya prana with different these things. That is what we are going to, the Shruti is telling, and we are going to discuss about it. This fivefold manifestation of one and only mukhya prana as five different pranas functions in the various sectors of the body to contribute to the overall experience of the mukhya prana, that is to say, our life. Here, prana means life. Our life cannot go on if even one function of this prana is discarded. We will not be able to function at all. Here, before I go, because this fifth mantra is describing these three functions of three different these pranas. Before I go, we have to understand. All the functions are meant only for one purpose, that is a harmonious development of body and mind. And of these, the most important is a body. Can the body remain without the mind? Absolutely no. Can the mind function without the body? Absolutely no. What happens when death comes? Yes, for a short period of time, that is called Preta Sharira. Preta Sharira means the body of a departed soul without getting a new body, either in higher worlds or in lower worlds. Remember, higher worlds also, there will be a physical body, but it is such a so subtle. We are not comparing the subtle body of what we call subtle body mind, but just like an atom is so subtle. It doesn't belong to subtle realm. It belongs to the physical realm. But it is so small, so subtle. In that sense, it is called subtle. So Indra's body, for example, or those who dwell in Devaloka, Swargaloka, their bodies are very subtle. But that subtle body is not what we are discussing. Subtle body is not mind there. Subtle body means in comparison with our type of physical bodies, the physical bodies of those are very, very subtle and infinite, capable of enjoying things to an almost ninth degree. But they have their own subtle body, their own minds, Indra's thinking, for example. And do they have also Sushupti? Yes, devatas also will be sleeping. There is something very interesting. So once Holy Mother's mother had some physical problem, body problem, and she was praying the Divine Mother Simhavahini or some other deity, I do not remember exactly. And suddenly she had a dream. How come you are awakening us? Don't you know this is the time for the sleeping of the devatas? Oh ma, I did not know that even devatas sleep. Okay, now I know. So that devata gave some upadesham for about few minutes and disappeared, scolding Shyama Sundari Devi for disturbing her divine sleep. I also do that sometimes, and people unnecessarily do that. Then Shyama Sundari Devi was also, after all, she was such a fortunate lady, had extraordinarily subtle sense of humor. She said, oh ma, that means my God, instead of wasting your time, why did you not tell the remedy in a second and go back to your sleep? I don't know how much the goddess understood the humor, but this is a very humorous situation. So whether people are Rakshasas, whether they are in hell or in heaven or on earth, every living creature goes through cycles of waking, dream and dreamless state, deep sleep state. That is inevitable because that is the nature of body, bandhana. So the maintenance of this body is done through prana, subdividing itself into five different parts called prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. And what are those functions are graphically described here in mantra number 5. But here we get only 3, apana, samana, and another one is there, apana, samana. 1 minute, prana, apanam, and then samanaha. I will come to that, I am not able to remember exactly. So 3 functions of the prana are beautifully, apana, prana, and samana. Prana, apana, and samana. These are those particular functions of the mukhya prana. I will read out the Sanskrit, then I will read out the English, and then we will discuss it. Mantra number 5. Payupaste apanam chakshu shrotre mukhanasika abhyam pranah swayam pratishthate madhyetu samanah eshahi etat hutam annam samam nayati tasmat etah saptarchisho bhavanti. Prana, like breath, engages apanah, out breath, in the organs of excretion and generation. And prana, mukhya prana, himself, like the chief minister, he distributes different portfolios to different of his deputies, but some portfolios he keeps for himself as his personal prerogative. So mukhya prana itself, that is one prana, dividing itself into 5 parts as it were, for the facility of performing 5 different functions, is known as prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. So apana means the breath, prana in the form of out breath, but in what does it function? How does it function? Excretion and generation. What happens? Excretion means whatever is undigested food, undigested material, that has to be thrown out. So that force to throw out what is not digested, that is the function of the apana. And similarly, generation, man has to discharge semen for the purpose of creation, procreation. But it is not possible. So many people have terrible problems. I do not want to go into that nasty details. But so many men, they cannot do this function. That means this apana is out of function. It is defective. It is not working. So pray to the apana devata, let me enjoy my sex life so that I will be able to throw out. Sex life doesn't mean a bad life. What I am trying to tell, a husband and wife loving each other, leading a very spiritual life, but they have the obligation to produce some children, as it were. And for that purpose, the union has to take place. And for that purpose, semen has to be thrown into the womb of the receptacle called the woman. And that throwing out that semen is done with the help of the apana. So this apana moves through the mouth and nose and dwells in the... So it has to help us. Now, the mukhya prana is also known as only prana, but this prana is a particular activity of mukhya prana, even though the name is the same. Like, as I said, the prime minister keeps some portfolios himself. Even though he is called prime minister, he can be also called home minister or foreign minister. So this prana is a sub-function of mukhya prana. What does this mukhya prana do? He moves through the mouth and nose and dwells in the eye and ear. That means what? He makes the ear hear, he makes the eye see, and he makes it the ingoing, outgoing breath, etc. That is his special activity. That is his special portfolio. This is the prana. We talked about apana, we talked about prana. Now we are talking about samana. So in the middle is samana. Samana is one name of the mukhya prana functioning. Samana means equalizing. So what does the samana prana do, or samana part of the mukhya prana? What does it do? Whatever food is eaten, whatever food we eat, the energy after it is digested, the food itself is not distributed. Remember, food has to be digested. It should be converted into energy. And that energy has to be distributed. Some energy for the eye to see, for the other sense organs, for the hand to move, etc. But supposing a person is dragging heavy weight, he requires more energy. So his hand should have more strength. His legs should, to pull that like an oxen, should have more strength. So the energy that is accumulated by the eating of food being the same, the eye requires very little energy, the thought requires very little energy, but this pulling requires greater energy. So like a mother feeding her children, she loves everybody, she divides the food samana. Samana means not exactly the same portion, same quantity to everybody, but equal, so that the baby's stomach will be full, the adolescent stomach will be full, the youth's stomach also will be full. So if there are old parents, he will be feeding them also, so that everybody will be happy, everybody gets what they require. That is called equalizing power. So this samana prana, its main function is to distribute the energy that is generated at the end of digestive process equally, whatever food is eaten. Remember, apana means whatever is undigested, that is thrown out. Thus prana also activates the seven flames, openings in the face. Prana himself remaining in his own nature as the mukhya prana, but in the mouth, in the nose, in the eyes, in the ears, he makes people, us, speak, inhale, exhale, see, hear, smell, taste, touch, etc. So this prana makes the apana to occupy the regions of the anus and the organs of generation and causes them to throw out the waste products of the body and initiates the process of procreation. between the prana and the apana, in the regions of the navel, is placed the third aspect of this prana, which is described in this fifth mantra, which is called samana, which is given the function of distributing all the energy that is the result of digesting food, and then distribute it equally so that whichever organ requires the necessary amount of energy without discrimination, it distributes to all these. It is from this fire which rises upwards up to the region of the heart. Seven flames shoot up, as it were, in the form of two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one tongue in the mouth, and enables the soul to have the experiences of forms, sounds, smells, flavors, that is, shabda, sparsha, roopa, rasa, gandha. What is the meaning of it? Please do not get confused. What it means is that it is this samana, this prana, in the form of all these activities actually, but in the form of the samana, is saptarshisa, means what? Sapta means seven. Archisaha means flames. That is to say, when we throw some petrol or some ghee into the fire, as if seven flames have shot up from the fire. What it means in simple words is, there are two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one tongue. So 3 × 2, 6. Two eyes plus two ears, 4. Plus two nostrils, 6. Plus one tongue, 7. And all these organs, sense organs, are enabled to function because of energy. And that energy is supplied by this samana aspect of mukhya prana. That is what we need to understand. So that is how this we have talked about samana, prana, and what did we talk about? Apana. Apana, prana, and samana. But actually, prana is divided into 5 parts. And those 2 other parts, in the next 2 shloka mantras, we are going to get. And this we will talk about in our next class. The whole summary of what we discussed is, this prana functions and supplies this, maintains this body, maintains everybody's body, and through the maintenance of the body, knowledge is gained by the minds of everybody, and through this, every jiva, who is none other than Paramatman, is evolving until the jivatman has the knowledge that I am not a jivatman, there is no difference between me and Paramatman. Until that time, this particular function, this prana, goes on and on. We will talk about this in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapatme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Moho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.